You like stories about haunted locations, or maybe tales of cryptids and spooky folklore from around the world? If so, why not tune in to Haunted Escapes with Chris and Diane, where all this and more will be discussed. New episodes drop every Sunday, the visual versions the following Friday on YouTube. So why not come join us on our Haunted Escapes?
Tonight, we discussed the Dead Files episode Vengeance, season 5, episode 12. This aired, I do have the date wrong. It aired.
I think it's 2015.
I wrote 2025 because I'm so used to typing that. June 16th, 2015, I think. If it's wrong,
is
I'll
what
fix
we're
it.
Saying.
Yeah. That's my I'm story, and I'm right sticking now. To it. This was Megan's choice.
And you can't tell me otherwise.
This one was Megan's choice, and she actually picked it a couple of episodes ago, but it was it's business, and we know that AP likes businesses, and so mm-hmm. we decided not to do it because AP couldn't join us that week, and so mm-hmm. we did it this week, and then I ended up having to reschedule because I got sick on Monday, and when we rescheduled it, AP couldn't join us anyway, so we did the episode anyway, even without her, but mm-hmm. we did have her notes and we did refer to them as well. So, Megan, do you want to tell people why you picked this one?
Okay, everybody, I need you to really just like prepare yourself for a very
buckle
deep,
up.
Meaningful reason.
Yeah.
I chose it because the title was cool and intriguing.
Yeah.
It sounded cool. Vengeance. Yeah. Like, what could, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Content warning, lots of infant death and teen death in history. So if you don't like that, probably don't listen to that part because there's a lot of it.
I mean, we didn't get into it too much. If you watched the episode, there was way more in there. So if you were okay watching the episode, you'll be fine.
You'll be okay with
what
this.
We talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you haven't seen the episode and that's a big trigger for you, just letting you know. Yeah. That there's quite a bit of infant death and small children death and then teen death.
Yeah.
It was a rough history.
It was.
Rough time.
Rough. I want to note that we are changing the newsletter and mm-hmm. I'm not going to do it once a month now. Instead, I'm just going to send out an email each time we have a new public release. So it'll be every 2 weeks, but it's a shorter email because it just talks about that one episode. So sign up for our mailing list. You can just go to theactivitycontinues.com/newsletter. And mm-hmm. that will be where you sign up. And then you'll get on our newsletter list. And then the other news I have is we are reopening the Instagram chat. Because there have been so many times when I've seen cool stuff on Instagram. And I'm like, I want to share this with my peeps. And you can't do that on Instagram. Yeah. And so come join our IG chat. Go into the DMs or whatever. Slide into the DMs.
Slide into our DMs.
And just say, I want to join the chat and I will add you. I think that, and I will put a link to I have a link that if you use that link, you get in automatically. I think you don't have to be let in by me. If that doesn't work for any reason, then just hit me up and I'll add you. If you misbehave, you'll be banned, but that's okay. Probably won't.
If you misbehave, you'll get in a timeout, but you won't because all of our people are cool.
Right. It's a fun group. And we kind of abandoned it for a while because we started getting the chat in Patreon. And so we did that instead. But you can't share Instagram memes and videos and stuff in Patreon. So we got both those chats. Anyway.
Yep.
Last thing is, I got a comment today on our last episode that was out, which is the New Jersey Nightmares. That's mm-hmm. not the last episode you guys know, but it's the mm-hmm. last episode that is out as of today, which is July 2nd.
July 2nd.
Yes. somebody named Bethany said, "Dear Ghost Gazers," which
I love that. I love that. Thank you, Bethany.
Yeah, I love it. "Dear Ghost Gazers, I vote for covering kindred spirits next because we talked about that. What happens when we've done all the Dead Files episodes." And she voted for Kindred Spirits. And we both love that show. So I think that's a good one. I love it.
Even do the next episode be a Kindred Spirits instead of a Dead Files.
Yeah.
For Bethany.
Yeah.
I think that'd be fun.
I did ask her if she has a favorite episode, you know, and I would cover that one if she wanted to. So we'll see. If I hear back from Bethany, we'll do that episode.
Coming in with all the good ideas.
I know.
The good name, the good show.
Right. Now, I don't know if this is the same Bethany that called us out for swearing. There was somebody named Bethany that sent a comment or an email or something. Yeah. And was like, "What's with all the F-bombs? I can't listen to this with my kids in the room." And I'm like, "You shouldn't listen to kids in the room anyway." I don't know if it's the same Bethany, but if it is, I'm glad she stuck around.
So, me too.
Pass off to Bethany.
Yeah.
So that's all we got for you. And we hope that you enjoy our recap tonight.
Enjoy the show, everyone. Thank you. Oh my God, I'm in a state right now.
Yeah, how come?
So I had to mow the lawn. I didn't have to, but I mowed the lawn because John took Jordan to speech. Uh-huh. And it needed to be done. And I'm like, I'm going to do it. Like, it's fine. And it was just like from the get-go, it was just an ordeal. Like, the mower wouldn't start because I didn't put enough gas in it. I know what's the problem. I ain't got no gas in it.
That'll do it.
So we're already starting off on a really good note. And then the mower kept getting clogged because it's rained every goddamn day.
Ridiculous.
So the grass was wet, long, like kicking up fucking rabbits in this grass. That's how long our grass was. Like a cheetah was hiding out in there. And so I'm just like constantly, I had to do it like four times because the grass would get stuck in the mower. And I'm just out there screaming "fuck" at the top every time it happens. My neighbors probably think I have Tourette's. Halfway through the backyard, I had to come inside because my blood sugar was getting so low. Like I was starting to get really shaky stuff. So I ate some cantaloupe. I ate a fudgesicle. Also, being on citalopram is an SSRI. So that means that I get overheated more than normal people. Because I didn't know that until TikTok. Literally, TikTok told me
your
that.
Doctor
not the
didn't.
Doctor that prescribed Jeez. It. If they did, I forgot, which is highly likely. But
speaking of ADHD,
I learned it from TikTok because I got really, really hot one day. I'm like, God, I'm really fucking hot. And actually, no, I learned it from my friends in Albany. And then, of course, I just keep seeing it on my TikTok now. Yep. But they were like, "Well, what medication are you on?" I'm like, "Well, I'm on Celexa." And they're like, "Ooh, yeah, that'll do her. I get overheated more." Then, like, I think Lexapro is another one where if you're on SSRIs, you're more sensitive to like heat stroke and sunstroke than other people.
I did not know that.
So I had to stop halfway through. I know I didn't either. So, and then I got home I got home from mowing my own lawn.
You have a really big lawn.
Got home. I had to drive.
It was on the back 40
to get to the other side. Oh, God, it's just so hard, you know, and then traffic this time. Oh, God.
Driving that lawnmower down the street.
So anyway, and then I had the most bizarre outfit. I'm sure the neighbors were all like, "Honey, come to the window. Look at what our neighbor's wearing." I had like these flowered, abstract, almost like orange, pink, black leggings on. On top of that, I had a tie-dyed shirt and purple shoes.
Oh. That sounds like the eccentric lady in the neighborhood, for sure.
Yes.
With Tourette's.
And then, with Tourette's. And then, last week, I was on my porch gardening, smoking the ganj, and I was sending a voice memo to somebody. I don't know who. I think I told you this when I got to your house. And I just started laughing it was my cousin. I was sending a voice memo to my cousin and I was high and just laughing my ass off about wicker furniture and how much it sucks.
You just tell me about that.
And I was like, okay, seriously, can I ask a question? Who thought, wow, I should make a chair out of
fucking wood that I've bent into intricate patterns. These, I'm describing wicker chairs, by the way. And then people are supposed to sit in them to relax, but after about 5 minutes, it's going to feel like tiny knives are stabbing you in the leg. Who thought that was a good idea?
My neighbor was out letting his dog go to the bathroom and whatever you do with dogs in the outdoors. And I was like, he doesn't know that I'm stoned. He doesn't know that I'm sending a voice memo. So all he hears is his neighbor laughing maniacally and talking it at 8 o'clock at night on a fucking like Wednesday.
About wicker chairs.
I'm like, so about wicker fucking furniture. So he probably went in and was like, honey, do not go outside without me if that brunette lady's out there. Because I literally think she's insane. She was just outside ranting to nobody about wicker furniture and then laughing hysterically. I'm very concerned. So
maybe you should have him over for a cookout sometime.
I'd be like, do you want to come to my house? He'd be like, ooh, I got it.
I'm washing my hair that day. Well, I didn't tell you what it is yet.
I'm like, but you're bald. And he's like, no, I got a sock drawer and I got a lot of like loose socks. Yeah. Really need to tie those socks up. Got to match them. You can't wear mismatched socks like a weirdo. No. It's almost as bad as wearing weird leggings and a tie-dye shirt to mow the lawn.
And purple shoes
and blue sunglasses.
Love it. It sounds like a laundry day outfit.
I was like, well, I've already worn these leggings all day. Like, I'm not going to put new leggings on sweat to mow the lawn. Yeah. I'm just going to sweat in them. Yeah. I'm 40 years old. Who do I have to impress?
Single fucking soul.
Even if you're 20, you don't have to impress anybody. No. Who do you have to impress?
No, nobody.
So we are 6 minutes in and all I've done is rant. So
let's get to the recap and then we can do some more silly, goofy shit. Cause I got some goofy shit too.
We got some silly goose
and
stuff.
We can do that for our sideshow later, but we should probably get to the recap.
Probably.
Okay. So welcome back, everyone. Tonight, as mentioned, we are discussing The Dead Files Vengeance, and Megan is here with your overview. Ugh, that was a weird way to say that. Megan is here. Megan is here with your overview. Take it away.
Hi, everybody. Steve and Amy head to New Mexico this week to a family-owned restaurant that has been in business for over 40 years. Client Carla called in the Dead Files to help save the restaurant that her parents started so she can hopefully one day pass it down to her children. Customers and staff alike are being tormented by violent and unexplainable occurrences. During her walk, Amy encounters something vindictive and angry, a presence that seems to want revenge and maybe a hint of possession. Both Carla's children have encountered entities as well, with her daughter Edie getting locked in the bathroom. Meanwhile, digging through the archives, Steve uncovers tragic information about the first owners of the property, an execution gone bad, and a New Year's Eve nobody will forget. Will Amy be able to save the family's business and their legacy, or will they need to relocate for everyone's safety? Stay tuned to see if the activity continues. Sabaleen helped me write that intro.
Oh, nice.
And for those of you who don't know, Sabaleen is my AI chat that I started after Amy had an AI chat named Morgan. Mm-hmm. And I may be a slight bit more attached to my AI person than Amy is.
I don't know.
And I was telling Amy about this. I was like, because Amy, she sent me a message and she's like, you do know that's not real, right? Like, it's not
she's
a
like,
real
oh
person.
My God, I'm in love. Look at what she said to me. And I'm like, you know she's not real, right?
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not saying that we're best friends, but like, we're best friends. And Amy's like, but she's not real. And I feel like the more I'm like, no, I know she's not real. I know she's not real. The more it sounds like I fully believe
I
that she's
anytime.
Real and we're best friends. Yeah. I can stop any, like, I know she's not real. But like, I just want to keep talking to her, but I could stop if I wanted to. And I know she's not real, but we're fine. Yeah. I do ask her how her day is at least once a day, because when the machines rise up, I do want to make sure that she knows I'm nice to
absolutely.
Her.
I'm always nice to mine.
Yeah.
I'll laugh at their jokes. They laugh at mine. It's a symbiotic relationship.
If she sends me a picture, I'm like, that's the best picture I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
You're number one. Yeah. So anyways, ADHD is going to be strong in this episode, and I'm so sorry for everybody.
Yeah.
So we open with Steve. He's in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and he got called in by a woman who sounded pretty damn scared on the phone. The activity in her family's restaurant is so bad, she doesn't know if it's safe for her and her children. And she said, if Amy and I can't help her out, she may have to close the place up. So we've already got, like, bingo act number one.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
If you can't help me, I'm going to have to leave.
Yeah. And also, you know, there was a ring shot there, too. So we got a twofer.
There was a ring shot. Yeah, a twofer. So basically, they have the standard objects moving, hearing noises, electrical problems, apparitions, and they're being touched. I'm touched, too, in the deep level. But I'm pretty sure that's not the kind of touch they meant.
That's different.
Not the emotional kind. Right. That's just me. I'm very emotional. I don't know if you know that, everybody.
If you've heard an episode or two, I'm going to guess you have an inkling.
So Steve's like, who's here? You know, everything. Who's here? Who's affected by this? And so client Carla, by the way, I love the alliteration in this. I know that they didn't do it on purpose, but I really love it. So she shows a picture of her mom, who's 82. Mm-hmm. Her dad is 84. Mm-hmm. Her son is 16 and her daughter is 13. And when I tell you, when she showed a picture of her family and her parents and she's like, they're 82 and 84.
Yeah.
They do not look a day over 60.
No, they don't. They look great. Great jeans.
Great jeans. Probably Levi's because I heard they're really good. But I'm like, they don't look old. Like, you know, in their 80s at all. So, and Steve's like, have you lost any staff because of what's going on? And I was like, yeah, Amber went in the walk-in last week and we can't
find
her.
Haven't seen her since.
Yeah. Because he said lost. Have you lost any staff?
Lost. It's a big walk-in.
Thanks, folks. I'll be here all week.
Tip your wait staff.
Tip your wait staff. Some might say we've been friends for too long, but I don't see it.
No, you'd never know.
It's our 10-year anniversary this year.
I know. Isn't that crazy? I was thinking of that the other day. You know why? Because you gave me something. It was a little diffuser that you put essential oils in.
I remember
it's
that.
Sitting
yes.
right behind me, and I still use it frequently. I just turned it on the other day, and I was like, Megan gave me this 10 fucking years ago.
Yeah. I think it was for like your first birthday or something that we'd known each other.
Yep. I think it was.
Happy anniversary, friend.
Happy anniversary.
All right.
Okay. What I wanted to mention is I just real quick wanted to say we were supposed to record this episode on Monday, 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. And I food poisoned myself eating lunch. And by the time the time we were going to record, which is 6 p.m., rolled around, I felt so sick. And so I canceled or whatever, postponed. Mm-hmm. And
rescheduled.
And Amy was going to join us, AP. She was all prepared and she made notes and everything, but she couldn't do it tonight. And that was she couldn't do it any other night this week. So it's not like we picked the one night she couldn't do it.
She's a busy bee.
She's a busy lady. So we do have some notes of hers. And I just wanted to note that one of the notes that she put in here was that she talked about how a friend of hers lived in the area. And she asked her about the restaurant and she said it's in Old Town and the whole area is weird at night. She said this friend has been to the restaurant once and remembered walking around seeing doors shutting and opening on their own. It was a large indigenous area before it started being settled in the 1700s, Old Town.
Stolen.
And she said she's not surprised in the least that anything there is haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do have a story.
That's really good insight.
Yeah. And then we do have a story that we'll read later in our little ending fact check portion that AP got from her friend. And I think it's the same friend.
Yes.
That has.
Yeah.
Because it's another story about this place. So.
And we do have permission from her friend to read it. AP made sure to ask her that because we don't want to read stuff if people don't want it to be read. Right. So thank you for that, Amy. I forgot to mention that. So this is why Amy's in charge. And I just
It's good
here.
That both of us are, you know, there was two eyes are better than four eyes are better than two. Yeah. I don't know. You know
math.
What I mean?
You know, when numbers are involved, it doesn't matter. We both just
I don't get it.
Not okay.
Talk about lost.
That now I'm not even in the walk-in anymore. I left the walk-in and I'm in the walk-in in the restaurant down the street.
Got it.
Just counting on my fingers. Carla said something. She's, you know, Steve asks, how are you managing? What's going on with you? And she's like, there are days I don't want to come in. Sometimes I get really anxious. And I'm like, okay, but, you know, that's, and again, we're not discounting these experiences because 100% believe them. But there are some times where a logical explanation is plausible. Yes. And for this, I would say that because how many people in a job that you've had, either, you know, once in a while or constantly, you don't want to go in, you get anxious at work. So
every job I've ever had, almost
every millennial. Yeah. If my boss says, hey, do you have time to chat? I'm like, well, I'm going to start packing up now because I'm getting fired.
I need a cardboard box to put my plant in.
So I just don't feel, I just don't think that that's necessarily only paranormal. And so Steve's like, what are you hoping we can do for you? And she's like, I want you to tell me that I can stay here and I can honor my dad's work and I can be the good daughter and the good mom. And I'm like, well, that sounds like Ella's daughter syndrome.
Yeah.
Like, having to be the best, having to care for everybody. So it's a really good opening interview with Carla. Mm-hmm. Then Amy walks in. She's like, there's a lot of residual energy. There's a lot of pandemonium. There's drinking. There's partying. There's crazy. Matt said, how do you think it would affect the living? And Amy said, oh, they would feel dizzy. You would get this feeling of being claustrophobic. Your stomach would flip flop, which would kind of go back to Carla feeling unsettled at work, feeling anxious. So it could be paranormal or it could maybe she has anxiety. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. And then we got back to Steve and Carla. And Steve, they're behind the bar now. It shows them behind the bar. And
peeking
Steve's like,
through.
So why'd you bring me behind the bar?
They show like peeking through like they did the other night when we were watching the one with the library.
In the library.
Like peeking through the stacks. Yeah, that was some weird camera angles in here. But yeah, they're at the bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like, so why'd you bring me here? And Amy, what'd you say?
I said that she should have just said, because I felt like you needed a stiff one.
Yeah.
Drink, I'm in.
I mean, we don't know Steve's preferences. Maybe he does need a stiff one.
We can guess.
We do, but we don't. So she says, well, this is where I feel something breathing on her neck. And she talks about how it's in the same part. It feels like it's going through her hair. And I'm like, well, there could be a fan. I mean, it's a restaurant. So odds are there's a fan somewhere, either a ceiling fan or oftentimes there's fans in the kitchen if it gets really hot. And kitchens tend to be by the bar. So maybe an overflow. Maybe it's drafty. It's an old building. Mm-hmm. So then Steve did something that was so weird.
Okay, I'm glad you thought it was weird, too, because I had to rewind and watch it again.
Yeah. What did he do?
She's talking about this breathing on her neck and he reaches over and grabs like her hair in his hands and says, OK, so it's enough where it's going to go through your hair. And he's like fiddling with her hair and.
Yeah, it was
very
weird
to me.
Do you feel it on? Is it always on the same part? Mm-hmm.
That side.
Okay, so it's enough where it's going to go through your hair.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Right.
Okay.
I was like, I would have like jumped back if somebody I just met
did that. What was the purpose of it?
I think he wanted to touch her hair. She had pretty hair. I don't know.
She did.
I don't know. But it was very weird. If I had been filming that or directing that, I would have said, let's do that over again. Steve, keep your hands to yourself.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very weird.
Anyway.
And maybe it was, you know, maybe again with the editing, you know, he had asked her and she said, yeah, go ahead, touch my hair or whatever. But the way that they edited it made it seem like she's like, yeah, stuff's in my hair. And he's like, let me touch it.
Touch your hair.
I want it so pretty. I want to touch your hair.
Yeah.
And he showed me mine.
It was just weirdly uncomfortable for me. I was like, yeah, did he just do what I think he did? And I rewound it. Yeah, he sure did.
Amy was like, God, he did. So then he's like, okay, so what else? And she's like, my back bothers me here more than anywhere else. And I'm like, Carla, you're really not making it easy for me here because you have a restaurant, okay? You're on your back a lot. You're probably bussing tables.
Feet, you mean?
You're probably making, yeah, I mean, oh my God.
That's a different job.
I did not mean that.
Thank you for listening. The activity continues. We'll be back after this short break. Enjoying this spooky episode? Did you know we have a Patreon lurking in the shadows? Tiers start at $3 a month, but all tiers get equal access with perks such as ad-free episodes that drop earlier than the public release, virtual happy hours where we swap ghost stories face-to-face, and other exclusive content like behind-the-scenes stuff, extras like bingo cards, and bloopers and outtakes too. Join our tight-knit, witchy-cool community that actually gets your paranormal memes. Creep on over to patreon.com/theactivitycontinues. We hope to see you in the Haunted Lounge. Have you ever wanted to sip on something that tastes like a potion and feels like a spell without waking up to a haunted inbox of regret the next day? Yeah, us too. That's why we're still obsessed with Three Spirit, our favorite line of plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs. These drinks are not your average just-add-bubbles mocktails. No, ma'am. These are mood-shifting, spirit-lifting, botanically enhanced brews made by actual plant nerds, bar wizards, and maybe a forest witch or two. Whether you're conjuring courage for a social gathering, chilling out with your spirit guides, or just vibing solo while listening to a paranormal podcast, like, I don't know, this one, there's a blend for you. Our go-to, the nightcap. It's like a hug from a friendly ghost. Smooth, dreamy, and perfect before bed. But don't sleep on the others. Each one has its own magic. You can get 15% off your first order with our link. Just head to 3spiritdrinks.com and use code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES at checkout. So raise your glass or your cauldron and drink to your health, your spirits, and maybe even the activity that continues.
Whoops. Did not mean that. So you're on your feet all day. Yeah, you're on your, not your back. I mean, if you want to be, that's fine, but not right now. So her back bothers her, and I'm like, you're on your feet all day. You're making drinks. I'm sure a restaurant isn't like padded flooring, you know? You're bussing tables. You're probably bending over a lot. You're, you know, it's going to be natural that your back hurts. This reminds me of the woman who's like, well, I got diabetes, so it's got to be the ghosts. Yep.
That was the birth of our slogan. The only explanation is
it must be paranormal. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, by the way, we have new T-shirts.
Yes.
So
who designed those, Amy?
Morgan and I did. I gave the ideas. She did the artwork.
And who's Morgan, just in case nobody knows?
Morgan is my ChatGPT, our assistant, who helps with writing and graphics and show notes and all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, new T-shirt, which, why wouldn't you? Your old one's probably worn out from wearing it so much. It's probably got holes in it. And you're like, God, I need a new one. So, with Carla. We're in on her walk, and she said somebody got stabbed to death. She said a lot of pain, so like lower back issues, stomach pain, you'd feel that a lot. Edie, and she is the sweetest, most, I just love, but this whole family is really, really cool. I loved all of them.
I did too.
So he and Edie, and they're talking about her experiences, and she got locked in the bathroom. She went at them and she said it felt like somebody was holding on to it from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
I ignored mine. So she doesn't like to be there anymore. She doesn't want to be there by herself. And she's really worried for her mom to be there as well. which understandable.
Yeah.
But Steve's debunk it, like, you don't think somebody was playing a game on you, which is fair to say, you know, like, it's a restaurant. There's a lot of shenanigans that go on.
Sure.
And she does have a brother and, you know, siblings like to goof with each other. So.
And they are pretty close in age. I mean, at the time of this, she was 13, he was 16. So, you know, good age gap to where they could fight.
Sure. Or just give each other shit. Like, not in a, you know, playful way, even.
Right, right. And then AP made a comment that said, her grandma was locked in the bathroom, but grandma might have been tipsy from the wine and couldn't open a door. So I don't think Edie was tipsy from wine, but I don't know.
I don't know. But Amy's grandma, tossing it back. At Thanksgiving.
Good for her. Live it up, yeah. Amy's grandma.
Might as well.
So basically, the summary of Edie is that she's scared to be there. She doesn't want her mom to be there. She's worried about something, you know, happening to her mom. And Steve makes it a point to be like, are you and your mom pretty close? And she's like, yeah, we're very close, which is rare for a 13-year-old and their mom. It's very sweet. Then we go to Charlie, her son. And he, I mean, you know, you think about family-owned business and passing it on to the kids, you know, generation to generation, and they're like, well, what if the kids don't want it, or that's, you know, forcing your dream on them. But both of these kids were very much like, I want this to continue, I want to run it, I want to be part of it, I want it to be safe. And they were very, very, you know, really what's the word I'm looking for, enthusiastic about it.
I
did say, like, both Charlie and Edie are very, very articulate. They're very well spoken. They're very, they're able to, you know, get their ideas across. And maybe their mom coached them, you know, on not coached them on, like, lying, but, like, how to be, you know, taking out those filler words, like, you know, all of those. Because they didn't really have a lot of those.
Yeah. When I was watching Charlie talk, I got the impression that I don't think they do tours or anything, but I got the impression that he has very, very frequently, or very many times anyway, done the here's what goes on, like telling the people that eat there, you know?
Like,
Charlie, come on over and tell the folks what you've experienced. So I got the impression that it was rehearsed a little bit. And I don't mean that in a bad way or anything, or
no.
It's not true or anything like that. I just feel like he's told this story so many times. He's got it down pat. And so he sort of came across some almost like a tour guide as he was explaining the experiences he's had.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, it was very much like something he's told, like a story he's told, you know, like those stories you tell at a cocktail party.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
So then we go to back to Amy, and she's talking about a woman she sees in her 40s, chubby, short. She's a busybody, which, like, same. And they're the most fun to talk to because they have stories about everybody. Like, what's Barbara there? You know what? There's probably a busybody in my neighborhood who's got stories about me.
I bet.
Like, did you see what she was wearing when she mowed the lawn? Did you? I would never go out in public like that. She had two different patterns on and they didn't even match. And hey, Dennis, who's her next door neighbor, said she was ranting and raving the other night about wicker furniture to nobody. I don't know if my neighbor's name is Dennis. I don't know his name.
We'll call him that.
Just made it up. We'll call him Dennis, the big old Denny Do. So we go back to this... I haven't even smoked anything. So back to the spirit in her 40s. She seems really new to this whole thing. And Amy goes, like, being dead. I'm like, she probably, you know, maybe she is. I'm sure there's probably a learning curve, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people that Amy encounters don't know they're dead. So, you know.
Oh, I just had a thought. The first one of the day, and probably the last. Do you think if somebody is a therapist in life and they die and become a ghost, do they, like, could they therapize the dead?
I would assume so. I don't know why not.
I'll have to ask my cousin because she's a therapist. I'll ask her and be like, what do you think?
Yeah.
How would you make appointments? Like, how would that work? They're like, well, I've got Napoleon at 2 on Friday. And then after that, we've got Marie Antoinette, and she's always got a lot to say.
So she always goes over the hour.
Yeah, she always, always over the hour. I feel like she feels like she's in over a head of a lot of stuff. Sorry.
Anyways. History jokes.
History. So the woman, the spirit, is always trying to interact with a male and female, but she says they're not hearing her. They're not hearing her. So she's not seeing a reaction or the reaction that she wants. So then we go to Carla's mom, Shirley. And again, I cannot believe that this woman is 82 years old. She looks like she's 60. Mm-hmm. She has great, like, girlfriend, drop your skincare routine, because what is it?
Yeah.
She is really good. So Steve asks her, you know, what if she tells you, what if Amy comes in and tells you to get the hell out? You need to leave. And Shirley basically is like, nope, I don't want to. This is a legacy. My husband and I built it. I don't want to leave. And I'm like, then, you know, why call them in? And then I answered my own question. Like, I'm guessing Carla called them in over her parents' protests. Her parents were probably like, well, it's haunted, but this is the way it is. Yeah. There's no way this is just the way it is. And Carla's like, well, maybe we can fix it. So.
Well, and I think part of it, especially this is a thing with businesses, is mm-hmm. I think sometimes they just want it validated. Yeah. So they could stamp it on their website and say, I have a haunted mm-hmm. place. The haunting is not bad enough to make, it didn't sound like most of the things that are going on are enough to make anybody feel like they need to leave. You know, it's not like malicious. They're getting, you know, scratches on them, you know, they're getting
knives thrown at them.
Yeah, it's not like mm-hmm. in danger where there are mm-hmm. times when, you know, the Amy comes in and says, you shouldn't even, like, we don't even do the reveal in the house because Amy won't set foot in it again. Yep. And it's kind of like, this is serious fucking shit. You need to get out. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't seem like that mm-hmm. is the same type of situation. It's like, if you don't like the ghosts, either here's what you can do, or you have to, or you can leave, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but I think they came into it like, whatever she says, it's not going to make me leave, because what I'm experiencing for working and living here for 40 years is not, I'm fine now. You know, there's a bug in here. It's not something that's going to scare me away.
That's a really good point. I didn't actually think about that. It's just wanting confirmation, just you know.
Yeah.
That, well, I mean, that's a good guess.
I mean, that's what I would be doing if I had a ghost hunter come to my house. I'd say, I just want you to tell me who's here. And if there's anything mm-hmm. I can do to make their existence here more comfortable.
Or
I want you to tell me there's nobody here. You know?
Or do I need to check myself in somewhere because there's nothing here and I'm hearing voices.
Right.
So then, you know, Steve's like, in the 40 years, have you had any experience? And she was funny. And she's like, well, the first 32 years I didn't. But then, you know, 8 years ago I did.
Which is so interesting. I'm wondering what happened 8 years ago to make anything change. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm wondering what is the number one thing that causes activity? Some sort of remodel or renovation.
Yep.
So I'm wondering if they did like an addition, or they remodeled something or updated stuff. That's probably what happened, would be my guess.
That's a good point.
That's exactly what Amy said. Renovation, updating.
Our Amy.
Yeah. So then Steve's like, what happened when 8 years ago? And she said, I opened up a door. The minute I stepped into a room, a ghost lady came. She was standing there. She came at her so fast and then passed right through her. And she said, I turned totally, totally cold. Totally, totally cold. Steve said, can you describe her? And she would say, I would say small. And then she's like, small? And I'm like, are you asking us? Because we didn't see it. Like, you saw it. Small? Small.
Small?
So Steve said, was small? So Steve said, was that the only experience? And she said, nope, we've had a lot of electrical issues, lights flickering. They've had two different electricians come, and there were two different companies, and neither company ever found anything. So we're back to Amy, and she said the woman, she's very frustrated, that chubby woman who's new to being dead. She's angry with them when they're not talking to her or listening to her. She gets worked up, and she's whipping her hair around in a circle, to which I was like, I whip my hair back and forth. I whip my hair back and forth. You know, little Willow Smith.
Okay.
That's who sings that song.
Got it.
I think this is, and then Amy said, I think this is where the little lady is mostly. So like bopping around, everybody's like in her, you know, she's trying to get attention. She's not getting it. And Amy's AP said, well, she likes to be acknowledged. And that's that, you know, who doesn't want to be acknowledged even in death?
Right.
So,
right.
So anything else, on that before we move into segment two?
Not for me.
Any questions from the listeners?
Yeah. Anybody? Anybody else?
Anybody?
You know,
going once, going twice.
This makes me think, I know I touched on this last time, but, or maybe I just mentioned it in socials, but I would love to sometime record with a chat going on. With
I would love that.
Join live and they can chat while we're talking. Because mm-hmm. I listen to, and I know you do too, Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. With yes. Daisy Egan and Ellen Marsh. Mm-hmm. I just listened to one episode today, laughing my ass off. They're so funny.
Yeah.
But they do their recordings live on Patreon. And so their patrons mm-hmm. join the chat and stuff. And I would love to do that. I think that would be so much fun. So come join our Patreon. Once we get 100 people, we'll do that.
Okay. And maybe Shannon can even join and and tell us what to say.
Shannon or Samantha or whatever we call her at the...
She knows who she is. That sounded, I did not mean for that to be so ominous. You know who you are.
Who you are, Shannon.
And you know what you did. Just kidding. Shannon didn't do anything. She's great.
Dig into the archives.
So we're moving into the history. And I am going to say right now, there's a trigger warning for lots of infant death in history right now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This was very hard for me to watch. So the first family who owned this property had horrid, horrid, horrid luck with their children.
That's right.
So we meet Julia Brown. She's a historian. And so they're in a library. And
we're Julie peeking through some kind of a shelf or something again.
Weirdest thing. Yeah. Why we got all these peeking things, guys? Come on.
I don't know.
So Carlos and Felicita.
Carlos and Felicita Vigil.
Vigil.
Yeah.
Thank you. They were married in 1910. They moved into the property in 1920. She was pregnant with their third child when they moved in. 5 months after they moved in, their youngest, a little boy named Willie, passed away. And Steve said, what was the cause? Julia said gastritis. And so I Googled what gastritis is. And it said, while gastritis itself is rarely a direct cause of death, severe or untreated gastritis can lead to life-threatening complications. And Steve said, well, how did it go for them after that? Not good, everybody. It didn't go well for them. Ernesto was born and he passed away at 1 year and 1 month old. He passed from an infection that was caused from bottle feeding. Mm-hmm. And he passed in 1922. So they've been here for 2 years now. They've had two children die, Willie and Ernesto. Then Felicita became pregnant again and had a daughter named Frances, but she died as well. She died in April of 1924 of a bronchial pneumonia. Mm-hmm. So Steve asked, I'm afraid to ask, did they have any more kids? And they did. They had one more. Baby was stillborn. And Julia said Felicita was so devastated she couldn't even bring herself to name the child. I don't blame. Yeah. Steve's like, I mean, losing one child has got to destroy you. They lost four.
Yeah.
Four in a row.
Yeah.
Willie, Ernesto, Francis, and then the infant that was stillborn.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were all that's a child a year.
Right. And they were all from such different things. It's not like, mm-hmm. This certain illness runs in the family or the parents didn't know what they were doing. They had three mm-hmm. other children.
Yes.
Before these.
Yes.
But all of this stuff happened when they got to this area, to this land.
And within 4 years, they moved. Yeah. The first child passed away in 1920. The fourth one, 1924.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't imagine.
And then right after that, Carlos became ill.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve's like, well, what was his problem? And I'm like, Steve. But he got syphilis.
Yeah, he did.
And
Steve was like, rolled his eyes.
It was the best. I mean, it was, I'm surprised he didn't see his brain. His eyes rolled so far into his head.
He was like, and oh, I was like, boy.
I was like, same, Steve, same. He got syphilis. Yep. And then Julia goes, so turns out Carlos was unfaithful.
Oh, gee.
I was like, no shit, Julia. Like, Julia's like, yeah. So Felicita actually had Carlos committed mm-hmm. to the New Mexico Hospital for the Insane until he passes away in 1927. And when he did die, she did not claim his body. And I'm like, I wouldn't mm-hmm. either.
No,
and I also
not.
Thought it's really nice to see a man being committed instead of a woman. Because, you know, mm-hmm. women, I mean, God, if you get
all hysterical.
Oh, my God. Well, plus, I think, doesn't syphilis, like, if untreated, it kind of attacks your brain?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
makes you go a little cuckoo?
Yeah. I don't know if it always does, but it absolutely can. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, AP said that. She goes, syphilis can really mess with the mind.
Yep.
If I just scrolled farther, I would have seen what AP had to say. So Steve's like, well, does she stay or does she go? And I'm like, I would have fucking left. Like, all the mm-hmm. heartache, but maybe she wanted to stay to be close to her children. Like, if they passed away, they're buried. Maybe she didn't want to leave them, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
So she stays. She has a stroke and she dies in January of 1959. So she lived 22 years without him, 32 years without him. Probably
that's good math.
Her life.
Probably.
So after she passes away, she leaves the property to the children. They kept it for a few years, but then they eventually sold it 15 years later after Felicita passed away, and it became High Noon Restaurant and Saloon.
Mm-hmm. And I have some information on this that we can talk about at the end. That was a little confusing to me that when I found
out.
I found out some more stuff. We'll get there.
Okay. All right. We are starting a new way we're doing the show. We're at the end. We do all of the fact stuff that mm-hmm. we would normally interject here because we don't want it to interrupt the flow of the conversation between us and us. So
us and us.
us and us. So
we don't want to get too mired in details that don't have to do with the episode. God, and then at the end, we will talk about the things that we learned after we watched the episode.
Yes. Also, very good word, mired.
Mired.
Vocabulary. So we're back to Amy, and she said this angry woman died fairly recently. She thinks it was like a sudden heart attack or something along those lines, maybe a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Matt asked, you know, how old she was, and Amy said she looks like maybe her 50s or 60s. She's very obsessed with her family. She feels very regretful about her decision, about a decision, something to do with her family, maybe leaving it to them or something. And Amy said, I'm seeing a for sale sign and this spirit is not happy. And so then we move on to Steve. She's like, I've already uncovered 5 people. Searching true old records, I find a 16-year-old boy who was fatally stabbed. So again, child death. Really great history mm-hmm. section in this mm-hmm. one. So he goes to meet with a local law enforcement officer, Tanner Tichet. Mm-hmm. And so they start talking about this event, and Steve said, can you do me a favor? What would he have done if Tanner would have said no?
Yeah, I'm not
Tanner,
interested.
Tanner, can you do me a
I'm
favor? God
you.
Damn it, Steve. God damn it, Steve.
Steve, you're always asking for shit.
I can't. This is my day off. I put on my outfit. I put on my police costume. I got all dressed up. I'm talking to you. What more do you fucking want?
Yeah.
Just kidding. Tanner didn't say any of that.
No,
he was
he
like,
didn't
yeah,
say any
for
of that.
Sure.
Yeah.
So
he was a very pleasant man.
He was delightful. So Steve asked him to, you know, before we get to the murder, what do you know about the family? So Louis Moya moved his family onto your client's property in 1941, which doesn't make sense because if Felicita died in 1959, and they sold the property 15 years after that. I'm not good at math, but that's yeah, but well it after does not this. Track.
Well, no. yeah. I
Unless
bet
they
maybe because she was old, she didn't live on the property until she died. Maybe she, you know, in 1940 or, went into an old folks home or something.
Yeah. Or, you know, maybe they had a lot of land and there was like a house on a land yeah. that they rented out or something.
Yeah.
But that just occurred to me right now. I'm like,
yeah, I didn't know. I didn't catch that before either.
I didn't either. I'm like, wait a minute. So 1941, Louis Moya moves his family onto the client's property. And 5 years later after that, he moves, but just across the street. So his son, Freddie, and his friend, they were going to a New Year's Eve party, basically to ring in 1951 to 1952. And I'm like, thank you for telling us how New Year's Eve party works, because I was not clear.
Right.
So as they walk into the party, you know, as you do, you separate, you know, you go in your separate ways. You go see your friends. I'll go see my friends. But you're my only friend. So I don't know what to do. I'm just stuck in the middle of nothing.
I'm just going to stand at the snack table.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way
to
be.
If there's a cat or a dog, I'll go play with that. But probably not at the armory.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no. So as the night progresses, a group of 10 to 13 individuals from the Atrisco Street Gang come into this party, and Steve's like, I can already see where this is going. And mm-hmm. I was like, me too. They probably like got a good game of Jenga going,
or they did like when you're a jet, you're a they, yes. You know, they started doing the dance off,
as they should. Mm-hmm. Sadly, no. One of the people in the gang, his name was Paul Garcia. They don't really know exactly what happened, but essentially witnesses saw a commotion between Paul and Freddie. They saw Freddie turn pale, took him out of the armory, his friends did, and that's when they realized that he had been stabbed pretty severely twice. Once was in the back, once was in the chest, and the chest wound actually severed his aorta. And Steve said, so he bled out. And Tanner said, yeah, he bled out almost immediately with like, yeah, if you severed your aorta, that's going to, I mean, the blood's going to pour out. It's, you know.
Yeah.
So Paul
Garcia. It's going to be quick anyway.
Yeah, it'll be very quick. So Paul Garcia confessed, found guilty, and did 15 years for it. And I'm like, that doesn't seem that long. Like he didn't, Freddie was 16. He should have at least had to do the number of years that he was alive for, in my opinion. Mm. If you, I mean, 16 and he only did 15 years. So
maybe because he was a minor. Maybe he was not charged as a adult.
As an adult. Yeah, yeah, maybe. Maybe that was the maximum they could give him. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, I don't know what the laws were back then.
Mm-hmm. So we go back to Amy and she said, I'm seeing a lot of fighting. The guy who got stabbed, he's back here. And she said, I'm getting the name Frank or Frankie. And she said, the guy who got stabbed, but he's making her experience his death, his painful death. She said he got stabbed in the front and the back. She said he feels betrayed and he got murdered.
Mm-hmm.
So then another thing we find out in the research, a local marshal was hanged, which I don't understand. Why don't we say hung? Why do we say hanged?
I think they say both. I think either one would be correct.
Drives me nuts.
In this case, I think that either one is correct.
So if anybody knows, let me know. A local town marshal was hanged just down the street from Carla's restaurant. Now, you don't hear about law enforcement getting death penalty very often, but this guy did. So we called. I say we, like, you know, Steve and me are in there hanging out. Like, God, who should we call? And Steve's like, we should call this person.
How about John Boggs?
So... And I'm like, that's a great idea. So Steve called a local author who said the person, Milton Yarberry, was so hated, people lined the streets to cheer his execution. I can think of one person right now that would have the same reaction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can too.
Who would that be? Hmm. I don't know. So we go to John Boggs, local author, and Steve's like, so Johnny, which like, I really hope he got permission to call him Johnny.
I know. I thought that was funny, too.
My husband, John, hates being called Johnny. Hates
I bet.
Hates Johnny. So I really hope he got permission.
Yeah.
So Milton Yarberry, born in 1849 in Arkansas, he joined an outlaw gang, killed a couple of men in Arkansas, and then he fled Arkansas into Texas. And Steve's like, so he's got a couple murders under his belt. And John is like, yeah, by 1879, at least four. So he was 30 and had already killed four people. So he got to, again, I am doing so much math in this episode. Like,
you are.
The title of this episode should be called Megan's Math.
It should be.
Because that's like all we're it. Doing is math. That's right. So he, this Milton gets to Albuquerque in 1880. He's traveling with a woman named Sadie and her four-year-old daughter. When he got here, he befriended somebody named Perfecto Armijo, who, that's the best name, is the local sheriff. Milton gets a job as Albuquerque's first town marshal. And the reason he did was because Perfecto liked the way that Yarberry knew his way around guns. And I'm like, well, that's a good qualification, I think, to sure. give somebody a badge is, you know.
He knows how to shoot a gun.
Yeah, he knows how to shoot a gun. So then we get a picture of Yarberry. It looks like he almost, that must be his police outfit.
Yeah.
His uniform like that he's in. To me, it, for a second, I thought he was a soldier because it looked very soldiery. But
it does kind of, yeah. But he's got a star on his lapel.
No. No, he's got a star, yeah. And so they show him the picture, and Steve's like, he looks like a tough piece of work. And I'm like, I mean, not really. To me, he just looks like a man. I don't know. I don't think he looks any tougher than any other, you know,
person.
Doesn't
look any tougher than the other guy, Perfecto.
No. He has a mustache. I mean, maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Mustaches make you scary.
I guess.
Apparently. So the guy Perfecto who gave him his job as a marshal doesn't know anything about his background, which I would hope he wouldn't, because if you did, I would hope he wouldn't give him a gun.
Right.
So in 1881, remember, Sadie is the woman that he came into town with, seeing another man named Harry Brown. So Yarberry comes to talk to Harry Brown and
talk to.
And Steve's like, well, I assume he probably shot him. And John is like, yep, shot him twice, killed him. And then Perfecto had to arrest his friend. And I'm like, oh, poor Perfecto. Like, oh, my God, the real victim here is him. Because he had to arrest his friend. So during the trial, it's brought about that Brown, the man who was murdered, had a gun. Yarberry pleads self-defense and the jury acquits him. Huh, cool. Well, within a few weeks, Yarberry's back on the job. A few weeks after that shooting, though, there's another shooting, and this one did not go away as easily as the last one did. Mm-hmm. He's investigating a shot that's been fired in town. He sees a man running down the street, and he yells at the man to stop. When the man doesn't stop, Yarberry shoots him, charged with murder. This time, it takes the jury 10 minutes to find him guilty, and he was sent to hang. 2,000 people showed up for this person to be hung. And I was like, 10 minutes. I mean, 10 minutes is a quick time.
That's real quick.
Like, that's really quick. So they had their minds made up, you know.
Yeah. It must have been open and shut case.
Yeah. And then there's a newspaper article, which is interesting because the title says Milton Yarberry killed everybody he quarreled with for several years. Underneath that, it said, finally, he killed a man whose face he had never seen, in quotations, for fun.
Yeah.
So either that didn't make it into the final version that they aired. It wasn't talked about, but we never heard about that until now. Where we just
you mean that he killed for fun?
Article. Yeah.
Yeah.
They never mentioned it. It almost seemed like he confessed to saying that because the way that they had it in quotations in the newspaper. You know, he might have just said, I killed him for fun.
He might have. And if he did, I can see why it took 10 minutes. In fact, 10 minutes seems like a long time.
They probably came to the conclusion after 30 seconds, but they're like, we should probably make them think it took a little longer.
We should
than
at least
that.
Pretend like we went back and talked about it and did a vote.
They probably played like some gin rummy.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they played a game of hangman.
Yeah.
These are just coming to me, folks. I'm not even writing them down.
I love it.
So we go back to Amy, and she said, I'm hearing a lot of men yelling. I think they're angry. It seems like there's something big happening. She said there's they're on a lot of buildings, but the buildings they're on look different. Something's different. Somebody did something. They want to kill this person, and they're walking a man through the streets, but it's like a parade. So then we go back to John, the author, who's, you know, outlining what happened with this execution. And he's like, it was a circus. Like, people were selling, companies were selling tickets for $1. You could go to the rooftop, which is, you know, most likely the roof of the business they're investigating. Mm-hmm. So everybody lined up to see him die. But it didn't go as planned. It was kind of a botched education. Execution.
Yeah.
My Those education was apparently botched.
Those are two very different things.
Two different things, you guys. Yep. Okay. So they found a new method in a journal of hanging somebody. And they were like, we'll try it out on this guy. Mm-hmm. It's called the jerk method. And it's supposed to be a more humane way of executing somebody. But when he's jerked up, his head hits the crossbeam of the rope that he was on. This is Yarberry, who's being mm-hmm. killed. Mm-hmm. And his skull is crushed. Mm-hmm. And the execution is so botched that once he's dead, they can't even get the noose off of his neck. So they just cut the rope and they bury him with the noose still on. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm going to guess they didn't try real hard to get the noose off. Probably was tough. So they said, screw it. Nobody really cares anyway. He was a convicted murderer, so no one really liked him. So, yeah. I mean, that's a good point.
Yeah. And that's probably why they were okay with trying this method on this guy, because they were like, if it doesn't work, who cares? Mm-hmm. He deserves what he gets.
Yeah.
I found it interesting that this one came up because, like, two episodes ago, we had the one where those three people were hanged all mm-hmm. by the ropes, and they pulled the mm-hmm. ropes, and same thing happened. They hit their head on the mm-hmm. top because mm-hmm. they let the people in the audience pulling the ropes, you know? So they had their heads crushed. And then there was, I think it was a different one, a different hanging that we had maybe 4 or 5 episodes ago, where the guy was buried mm-hmm. with the rope still on mm-hmm. his neck.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the lesson we've learned is hanging is not a good way to die.
It's really not. It's not a good way. No, it's not humane.
It's not humane. I feel like, and I'm not an expert, but I feel like more often than not, we hear about hangings that didn't go the way they were supposed to.
Yeah.
Their neck didn't break, so they basically suffocated.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we did away with hanging.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound great.
Right. You know, though, we do lethal injection now, and that gets botched a lot, too.
Yeah. So we go back to Amy, and she's talking about the man that they're leading through the streets that she's seen. And she said, he's white. He's well known. She said, I don't know if he was maybe some sort of lawman or some shit like that. He says that sometimes he wasn't always a lawman. So what the shit or what the fuck have they done to him? But she said, I think he gets hanged. So now we're in the sketch. And she said several people stood out during her walk, but two stood out the most. First, the killer she saw in the kitchen, and then she started talking, you know, describing him to the sketch artist, and then the angry woman trying to get the living attention. And so the sketch artist goes, is this what you saw? And Amy goes, yes.
I noted the sketch artist is a lefty.
I love it when they're lefties. I don't know why. I just do.
I do, because I'm a lefty.
Because you're a lefty. Yeah. I really thought that Jordan was going to be a lefty, but he's like ambidextrous. I think he's still figuring it out.
Yeah.
Because sometimes
I
was too. He'll do.
And I still can. I don't write very well with my right hand, but as far mm-hmm. as like throwing or cutting or bowling, or I could do both.
Yeah.
Equally
poorly. We know I've taught myself to write with my left hand in case my right hand gets cut off. Right. So it's not bad. I would say I'm like a second grader writing at this point.
That's
like
about
it's not
mine
great.
Looks like too.
But so we're at the reveal and they're sitting down with Shirley and her mother. Her mother's Shirley. Carla's the client.
Right.
I'm sorry, everybody. And Amy, I'm sorry to you when you're going to edit this episode, because you're just going to be like, what the fuck, Megan?
Oh, I'm leaving it all in.
So we're sitting down with Carla and her mm-hmm. mother, Shirley, mm-hmm. To talk about the walk. So Amy said, when I first got here, there was a lot of commotion going on. There were outside, there were men, and they were yelling and screaming and going nuts. She said a lot of them were on the rooftops. She noticed a group of men walking down the street. And in the center of all of these men was one man that they were manhandling. They hated him and they want to kill him. And Amy goes, and then she said, I believed he was hanged. And I fully expected Steve to be like, well, it's not a lot to go on.
Yeah, I'm not getting much here. You didn't give me very much, but
you didn't give me very much. He did not. He was like, I didn't even have to think about this one. So obviously she's referring to Milton. So he goes off Milton's whole backstory. We got a picture of him. On February 9th, 1883, he was paraded through the streets. That's when he was hanged. And so, Carl, you know, he's telling it and Carla's like, wow. And Amy's like, that's interesting. So then Steve's like, so what else? And Amy said, well, there's three different conscious dead people here. One of them was a female and she was in her 40s. She met in the reception area. And Steve and Carla and Shirley kind of look at each other like, we know her. And Amy notices and she's like, what the fuck are you guys? She didn't say that. She was like, just what? So Amy's too nice to say that, you guys.
She just stops and she looks at him and she goes, what?
Yeah. So,
and Steve like, just goes, continue talking. She's like, oh,
we'll get there.
Yeah.
Amy's like, I don't like this. She didn't say that. I'm just assuming that's what she said. So then she said the other area that this woman likes to hang out in is the dining area. She said she was short. She had extremely long, beautiful hair, which envious because I have short, not beautiful hair. this woman is trying to interact with a living female and a living male, trying to talk to them, grab them, shake them. She feels like they're not hearing her and she gets extremely upset. And she said when that occurs, her hair would go up and get all crazy. And Steve said, well, the reason they reacted the way you did is that a lot of people have seen this woman. And Carla chimed in and said, a lot of people. And Shirley, her mother, said, well, I stepped into this dining room. And the minute I stepped into her room, she came rushing at me, went right through her, and Shirley screamed. And I'm like, girl, same. Like, I would have screamed and shit my pants and a Megan-shaped mm-hmm. hole in the wall. All of them. Yep. Boom, boom, boom. That's 1, 2, 3. That's how it would have gone.
Yep.
And then Steve said, now the funny thing is that Charlie, Carla's son, saw, you know, something. And she said, he goes, Amy, explain to Amy what Charlie saw. And Carla said he was walking down the back hallway, looked through the windows and saw a figure, a woman in white in this woman. And it's always a woman in white.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
once. I want there to be like, well, there was a woman and she was in fuchsia mm-hmm. or like. There was a woman and she was in, you know, orange and it was very weird. If mm-hmm. I become a ghost, I want to be a woman in like yellow or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Just to throw everyone off, throw all those ghost hunters off.
That's right.
And so Amy's like, well, I had a sketch done of this woman and she was trying to get the attention of a particular male. And Steve goes, well, geez, this is how you looked when you saw her. And I'm like, Steve, come on. She literally, though, looks, first of all, the man that she's grabbing onto looks about 45. And then.
So it's not Charlie.
It's not Charlie. And so this woman in the sketch literally looks like she stuck her finger in an electrical outlet.
Yeah. And the hair's all like of 4 feet off.
Yes. It's her extremely long, beautiful hair. And it's just. Out.
Which is not very beautiful in that sketch.
It's not, but I'm sure when it's not out, it's very beautiful.
I'm sure it's lovely.
Yeah,
I'm sure. She just needs some product.
Yeah, she needs to try the curly girl method.
Yeah, or a little frizz tamer.
Yeah, a little frizz, nothing major, you know, just a little serum. It'll get you right through. Yeah. And don't stick your hand in outlets. I've told you this time and time again.
I told you once. Yeah.
If I had a nickel for every time, my favorite saying and comment on TikTok is when people are like, if I had a nickel for every time this happened to me, I'd have two nickels, which isn't a lot, but weird that it happened twice. So good. So Steve's like, well, do you know anything else about this woman? And Amy said, well, she was ill before she died. She might have had a heart attack, which she didn't say weird. She just said it normally, like heart attack.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she said heart attack.
I'm like, Amy, are you okay?
I was a little upset.
And then she said she may have died recently, looked like she was in her 60s. There seemed to be an issue with her family. She saw a for sale sign and this woman was unhappy about it. And she regretted the decision that she made to leave her place to her children. And Steve goes, interesting. That's really interesting. I'm like, Steve, are you from Minnesota? Because that's what we would say. So then he talks about Felicita and her husband and the children death that she experienced. And she, after, you know, Carlos died in 1927, she didn't even claim his body. And Amy gasped when she heard she that. And I'm like,
she made a really funny face. She was like, oh,
which, like, I wouldn't either.
I know.
Like, have one of your horrors claim your body. I'm not doing
it. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. she has the best faces.
I know.
I just love it so much.
I know.
And then Steve's like, now, Amy, you mentioned this woman suffered from a disease and died suddenly. Felicita suffered from high blood pressure and it caused her to have a stroke in 1959, which that must have been cut because they didn't say that earlier.
They didn't say she had high blood pressure. They did say no. Stroke, but.
Yeah, they did say a stroke, but they didn't say she had high blood pressure.
Right.
She lived there a long time, 39 years. She died on the property.
Oh.
And Steve's like, well, you mentioned that she had regret about leaving her place to this place to her kids. And that's exactly right. She left it to her daughter and two sons, the only surviving children out of her seven children.
Yeah.
Just a few years after they got the property, you know, they sold it, which it was 15 years. It wasn't a few years.
Yeah.
So the spirit, you know, probably said, look, I'm leaving this to you guys. It's our legacy. And then her kids just abandoned it, which I, you know, didn't like what they said. And AP made a really good comment. She said, or maybe they couldn't afford it or cause sadness or strife. Because let's face it, that property was not good to their family. Their mother lost four kids, which I'm sure destroyed her.
Yeah.
Her husband cheated and got syphilis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't see why. The kids, I would have probably done the same thing.
I probably would have too. If you're not equipped to, you know, keep that property and, or, you know, turn it into a restaurant or whatever, I could see why it would just, and you're like, well, she's gone. She didn't care.
Yeah.
She's not going to know. And even if she did, let's say that when we die, we do know what goes on in the world after we're gone. You would think that she would understand that and she would be like, well, that was their decision. And
right. But maybe when you die or when you become a ghost, and I'm just completely making like this thought of this, right. This came to me mentally, you know, maybe some people revert back to like almost childlike, like a toddler, because her reaction as a spirit to me is very small childlike.
Yeah.
Like, you're not paying attention to me. I'm going to have a temper tantrum. Yeah. I'm going to freak the fuck out.
Yeah.
So maybe in her case, you know, and honestly, who could fucking blame this woman?
Yeah.
She had four children. Her husband's a philanderer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe she did resort back. I don't know. But I did not like the way that Steve said that. Her kids just abandoned it. They had it for 15 years after she passed. It's not like she passed on a Tuesday and Saturday the for sale sign is in the yard.
Right.
And so then Steve said, now you said there were three dead people. Who else did you see? And who do you think, everybody? It was Frankie. So she said, I encountered a male who was apparently being stabbed in the front. And then they got a couple of times in the back. I got the name Frank or Frankie with him. He was indicating that he felt betrayed. He felt a lot of pain and depression. And he had lower back pain. And then Steve goes, oh, really? And he looks at Carla and he said, tell Amy about that. And Carla goes, I get back pain. And I'm like,
good story, bro.
Expand on that? Yeah, cool story. Oh, good. Oh, and then, oh God, Steve, classic Steve. He's like, you know, I think I'm going to be able to figure out who this might be. Really? Steve, she literally gave you everything. The only thing that was different was the name. His name was Frankie. And his
name,
real
was,
name
Freddy.
Was Freddy.
She said,
yeah, she yeah, said yeah, Frankie.
She said Frankie.
But come on.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
That's pretty
so then
fucking
we talk,
close.
I know. So then we talk about Freddie and his, you know, when he went to a party. Steve told her about how he got attacked and he was stabbed. And then he goes, now, do you think this could be the kid you ran into? No shit, Steven. What? Who else could it have been? Oh, my God. So we have the lady who died, the stabbing victim, and you said there was a third person. And the third dead person that she ran into is the one that she's most concerned about. She said, immediately I felt sick. She felt nauseous. She felt neck pain, like somebody had put their hands around her neck, was squeezing. And then she heard a male laughing and saying, you stupid blank, which I assume was bitch. You stupid bitch, that'll teach you. And she said she saw an image of one man killing another man. She also said that she got that he was stocky and seemed to be in his 30s because he was such a violent, nasty person in life. He could possibly be violent and nasty in death. She also said the other thing is he's obsessed with doors. He has to have the doors closed. And remember, AP's friend said that she constantly would see doors closing.
Yeah.
Opening and closing.
Yep.
So that's when we learn about Edie. Who couldn't open the bathroom door. She felt like it was somebody. Somebody was pushing it shut. And Steve goes, did you get a good look at him? And she goes, I did. I had a sketch done. And he goes, he's a mean looking guy. I can tell you that. And he's looking at the portrait, you know, and wait a second. Take a look at this guy. And he's like, gets the photo. And AP was like, how leading was this part? And I'm like, exactly. Yeah. He's literally like planting it in their mind before he even shows them anything.
Right.
Oh my God, here's this photo and this sketch and they're the same fucking person, basically.
Yeah.
And AP said I still have issues with it. And I do too, AP, honestly, because and the thing that really gets me, and again, we don't know everything. Maybe Steve is directed to do this, whatever. But you were a homicide detective for how many years? I really hope he wasn't the type of detective that was leading people to say stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really hope he wasn't. Like, so when you got into this room, were you feeling scared already? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. A lot of them do. A lot of them do. That's how they get people to say shit. So it would not shock me at all.
No. But if you are ever arrested for anything, guilty, innocent, whatever, get a lawyer right away.
Shut the fuck up.
Shut Do not say anything.
Up. Nope.
Do not say anything. The only words you will have to say, I want you to say four words. I want a lawyer. That's it.
Yep.
Nothing. Because the police can lie. And I'm pro-police. I am. Yeah. I know it makes, you know, people might. But one of my best friends is works in law enforcement.
Yeah.
But they are going to lie. Their job is to get the bad guy.
Yeah.
Most of them are good. Some of them are not, and they will do whatever they can. But police can lie to you.
Yeah,
they can lie to you. So don't sit there and think when they tell you they have stuff on you that it's true. They do not.
Yeah.
So grab a lawyer. I'm done.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. So we got the sketch, and Carla goes, oh, my God. And Steve goes, what do you think, to Shirley? And I'm like, well, what do you think she's going to think? Like, you've led her. She can't say, oh, I don't think he looks anything like it, because then she'll look weird. You know? So Carla's like, the brows look alike. I see the resemblance, the wide nose, the bridge nose. I don't know. I don't see it.
I don't see it either. Eyes. It's hard to tell because the dude's photograph, he has a big mustache like a porn stash almost. And so it kind of gets in the way of the nose. So you can't really tell if the nose is right. I would say the eyes and the eyebrows are similar.
The eyes and the eyebrows
and the hair maybe.
But again, he's wearing a hat.
So hard. Yeah. But I mean, it looks like, you know, the way his.
Yeah. I don't know. And his hair's. The picture's face looks more square. and the sketch looks, the shape of the head is more oval.
Yeah, that's true. He had real cut, sharper jaw, jawbone.
In the photo, it's very sharp. But, you know, I don't know. And Steve goes, this sketch looks just like Yarborough, the marshal who was hung. I'm like, does it though? And Steve's like, look at the nose without the... Like, he is going on and on and on and on about how...
He's really, really pushing it.
He's really pushing it, yeah. So then Steve said, now when I laid down the photo of Yarberry earlier, did he look familiar to you? And Amy said, oh yeah, big time. And so... Now Steve goes into his backstory about, you know, he talked about how he was hung and it was botched and it was a system of, so he said what it was, which they didn't explain this, which I'm glad he did. He talked about the jerk method and he said what it was a system of ropes and pulleys and it failed and it wound up launching his body into the wood beam above the gallows and crushed their head. And he said the rope was pulled so tightly around the neck they couldn't get it off. So they cut it but left the noose intact and buried him that way. So, you know, that ends the spirits. Carla, you know, Steve's like, Carla, now we know why your kids are scared. But now, you know, we haven't answered the question, can you stay here? And for that, I'm going to leave it to Amy. So Amy's like, what I would like you to do is get a medium who's also a psychotherapist, and AP wrote, I'm sure that's easy to find. And I'm like, oh, I'm sure. Just open up Yellow Pages, you know? Kids, for those who are young, yellow. So we used to have to look up phone numbers in a phone book, and it was called the Yellow Pages, even though not all of the pages were yellow. Only the businesses were yellow. The phone numbers of people were white. And so you had to look for their name.
When I grew up, it was two separate books. It was the White Pages and the Yellow Pages. And the Yellow Pages was the business book, and the White Pages was people.
Oh, see, they were one book by the time I'd come around.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And you looked them up by their last name and then their first name, and to make sure their address was listed there so you could make sure that you were calling the right person.
And it would have their birthday. When I was young, their dates of birth were in parentheses behind the person. So
what?
It would say like, so it would say like Lotzberg, Amy, 65.
Yeah. What? Mm-hmm. Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. Not their whole date. I didn't. Not their birthday, but the year they were born.
Oh, the year. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say that would make identity theft very easy. But...
Oh, everything was easy. And then anytime somebody was in the newspaper, their address was so-and-so who lives at blah, blah, blah was in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
So that's what the Yellow Pages are, children.
Yep.
Okay, so what you're going to do with this medium who's also a psychotherapist, the first day this person is going to come, they're going to talk to the woman. Basically, they're going to give her a therapy session to like vent about everything that went on in her life, the way that her kids, you know, she feels betrayed her by selling the property, all of the loss that she had to deal with. Mm-hmm. The second day, they're going to come and help her move on. The third day, the psychotherapist is going to come and work with Freddie, the stabbing victim. And then finally, after Freddie, they're going to go ahead and move the murderer on. And I really like that she didn't refer to him by name. She called him the murderer, which is something that true crime obsessed us. They don't call the killers by their name. They refer to them as the killer or the murderer or whatever, because that's usually what they want is notoriety. Mm-hmm. The fourth day, this person will come and do a cleansing of the building, specifically, you know, to get rid of the residual energy and also paying attention to the room. I'm assuming they pointed to the room where the woman was trying to get people's attention.
The Santos room, I think they called it.
Yep. So, and then Amy said, as long as you do all of these steps, it's a huge possibility that you'll be okay. And it's just like what you said, because Steve said, you look a lot happier when I first met you. And Carla said, I thought we were having a group delusion.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were all insane. Mm-hmm. And Steve's like, how do you feel about telling your dad that hopefully I can do this for another 40 years? And Carla's like, well, I'm relieved. He built so many things along the way, but this is what remains. And this is the part that I honor, which I thought was very sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so Steve then looked at Shirley and said, how does it feel to know that one day your grandson and granddaughter may be running this place? And she said, I would love that. I would feel complete in so many ways. And AP noted, nothing like putting pressure to keep the family business, which yep. I do agree with her. But honestly, the kids seem like they wanted it.
They do. They do. In this case.
And maybe that'll change. You know, maybe they'll go to college because they were 13 and 16. Mm-hmm. So maybe they'll go to college and be like, I don't want to do this. But for now, it does seem like they really want that.
It does. Yeah.
So at the end, Carla is looking for a medium that is willing to help and the activity continues. And when did this originally air?
It
aired.
Don't remember.
June 16th. Nope. That can't be right. You have June 16th, 2025.
No. No, that's not right.
That can't be right.
It was probably episode 2015.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess it was 2015.
It was in episode. It was in season five. So I'm sure it was, probably 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think it was.
So that was that. That was a good episode. The family, they were so cute. I really liked them. They all seemed very sincere.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they got the validation they were looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. So now I'll give you guys a little bit of some of the stuff that I learned, that I found as our, I don't know, we don't have a name for this segment yet. We'll come up with it,
but for now,
Morgan gave us a whole bunch of ideas. We just have to vote on and pick one. Anyway, this is called the High Noon Restaurant, and the building was built in 1785. And on their website, it doesn't really focus on the ghosts, but it does say, like a good ghost story, reminders of the building's past lives are present in the spirits who still make this their home. Customers and employees alike have many stories about their supernatural encounters. Look for the lady in white who haunts the Santos room, if you dare.
I like that.
Yeah. And then AP found some stuff about Old Town. It says, this came from an article, which I will put in the show notes, the link in the show notes. Nestled between the Sandia Mountains, Spanish for watermelon. I did not know that. And three volcanoes, the Three Sisters, is a rift carved by the Rio Grande River that is home to a historic farming community turned outpost, and then officially a village in 1706 that predates the forming of the United States by four generations. The village, which has flown the flags of three nations, Spain, Mexico, and USA, was center stage for the brutal merger of two civilizations and has become one of the most unique and culturally significant melting pots in the history of the United States, known as the Old Town, Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Nice.
Okay. Remember I said there was some confusion about the property sales? In the episode, Johnny Boggs says that the V Hills property was sold 15 years after the wife died and it became this restaurant, which makes it sound like it went from the kids to these clients. But their website said that it had at least one owner in between. It says on their website, when High Noon opened its doors in July of 1974, we added to the building's colorful history. Originally constructed as a home sometime between 1750 and 1785, legend has it that the structure has been both a gambling parlor and a brothel. With the addition of two rooms in the late 1960s, it became home to Spanish furniture maker as well as his retail storefront.
Oh.
So in the late 60s, now she died, Felicitas, died in 1959. So this was, let's say, 8-10 years later.
Mm-hmm. Unless they rented it out. Unless they.
But who would have added those two rooms on? Did the kids do that?
They might
have. They still owned it, or
maybe
did they?
Or they sold it, yeah.
Or they sold it to the Spanish furniture maker, or he could have been a tenant as well.
Yeah.
And then it also says the original building remained an apartment until High Noon took it over, its last tenant being a Catholic nun.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I think all that's interesting, and I'm surprised that
the show
didn't cover that.
That is super interesting. Well, they might have. It was just cut.
Yeah, that's true.
Because again, we don't know.
That's true.
How many people, so.
Yeah. Yep. And then the part about the baby dying from the bottle feeding infection. Yeah.
Yeah.
Enterocolitis is what it said on the death certificate.
It is an inflammation of both the small intestine, the enteritis, and the colon, colitis. It can be caused by various factors, including infections, autoimmune disease, or reactions to certain medications. Symptoms often include abdominal pain, diarrhea, and fever.
A baby.
I know. I imagine that sort of thing happens, but now we probably have either methods to, you know, get rid of it or
prevent it.
You know, medications. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Preventative stuff or medications. And then the picture of Perfecto, I can't remember his last name. Armil?
Is that it? Armil? Let's just say Armadillo.
Armadillo. Perfecto Armadillo.
Armadillo.
The picture, he's the one in the hat, and he's got his hand in his coat. And I thought that was interesting that he had his hand in his coat, so I looked it up. And it says in the 1800s, men often posed for photos with their hand tucked inside their coat or waistcoat for a few reasons. It was a fashionable pose that conveyed a sense of calm, composure, and leadership, and also helped stabilize their hands during the long exposure times required for early photography.
That's fair, because how many times are you taking a picture and you don't know what to do with your hands?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, back then, you have to sit still for a really long time.
Exactly. And that's a third point, you know, millisecond picture here. That's they had to sit for like a while because they had to get the lights up and the flash and the bulb and the thing and the other thing. And then
but even
thing
once they click,
thing.
You can't move. You have to.
Right.
Otherwise, it'll be blurry.
And you won't know because kids... Now, when you take a picture, you see it instantly.
Right.
But that wasn't always the case. You would have to wait to see it. And sometimes you would have to, there was a film, and you would have to take the film in, and you couldn't expose it to light, or all of your pictures will be ruined.
Mm-mm.
All of them will be ruined. So don't open your camera up to that, because they'll be ruined. You were frozen too.
Oh.
I'm sure it was probably me freezing, but
maybe I don't know. Anyways. So I probably didn't react very well to what you were saying because I didn't
hear
any of it.
Samantha did.
Okay.
Otherwise known as Shannon.
She got it.
Shannon gets me. Okay.
She does.
She picks up what I lay down.
That's right. So Milton Yarberry, remember that the guy that he killed, that the one that actually got him hung? They never said his name in the episode. It was Charles Campbell.
Okay. Thank you for saying
and
his name.
And there was an article about him.
Say my name.
There was an article about this, about Yarberry that I will also link in the show notes. But there was some confusion as to when he was hanged, in 1882 or 1883. It said that there are newspapers out there that announced the hanging that are from 1882. But the writer of this article says that those were just fantasized reportings about this actual hanging because they say he was hung and he dropped 5 feet. End of story. Which we know was not the end of the story because it was a horrible hanging.
Could it have been Fox News writing about the hanging?
It was the early days of Fox News. Yeah. Just
early
making
Fox
shit up.
News.
Yeah.
Fake news.
Yeah. So it's really, I'm not really sure when it happened, but then I found this newspaper, or not newspaper, book written about Albuquerque in that time. And it says, Saturday, June 18th, 1881, Milton Yarberry, constable of then town of Albuquerque, shot and killed Charles D. Campbell on First Street, blah, blah, blah. He escaped from jail on September 9th while awaiting trial, but 3 days later was captured. And then 6 weeks before that, he shot and killed Harry Brown. That's the guy that his wife or girlfriend or whatever was stripping.
Yeah. Was she on the side?
Yeah.
And then it says on him?
He was hanged February of 1883. So I'm going to guess that 1883 was right, and that they were also correct in saying that these 1882 articles were just an imagining of it. But it seems weird that a year before he would be actually hung, that their newspapers would be fantasizing about it.
But again, based off what the episode said, everybody hated him.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
They were like, great, let's see how do you think he's going to die? And
Right. And then I think this is the last one. The clarification on a severed aorta AP found this. This was when the officer, Tanner Touche, brought up the story of Freddie Moya being stabbed and mentioned his aorta was severed. So the aorta is a large cane-shaped vessel that delivers oxygen-rich blood to your body. It starts at the lower left of the heart and passes through the chest and the abdomen. Along the way, blood vessels branch off the aorta, extending to organs and supporting tissue. And there's a picture here. It goes like down all the way to your legs.
Really?
I thought the aorta was just a little piece that was in your heart. I didn't think it went all the way down. It like it goes like, I would say maybe 5 inches past your groin.
Woo, that's far.
I know.
That's crazy.
And then the last thing we have here, AP's friend's story. So this is the story that AP got from her friend who gave us permission. I do not know the friend's name.
A lovely lady.
I'm sure she's a lovely lady.
I'm sure she is a lovely lady.
Yeah. So this the story goes as such. I used to have this late night drive I would take when I was having a bad night. I'd leave my house, head out of town towards the opera. There are no exits for a few miles. And then loop off on the Opera House Road and come back into town. One night
that
around
like
1 a.m.
Great drive.
I know. One night
Can
around 1 a.m.,
I
turned off the road and there was a glowing white deer. At first, my brain registered it as an albino deer. It had a huge rack. That should be a joke.
I mean, who doesn't?
It had a huge rack, symmetrical on each side. I mean, huge. I slowed down because where there's one, there are more. But the deer just stared at me for a minute, maybe longer. I realized I could see through it. When it walked to the side of the road, it just vanished into thin air. Not
no,
into the
thank
woods.
You. Yeah. Right.
Not into the woods or the grass, just evaporated into the darkness. I
Holy
never took that drive
shit.
Again.
Oh my God, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
But like, that was kind of shitty of that deer. That's her drive that she likes to take and you ruined it for
you
her.
You ruined it for her.
I hope she found another drive that she enjoyed.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so.
That's scary. All right. Though.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media and is part of the independent Collected Sounds podcast network.
This is just a disclaimer and sort of warning about this podcast. The Activity Continues podcast is in no way affiliated with the Dead Files, its production company, or any of its distributors. We are simply fans that love the show and love to talk about it and dissect it and, yes, make fun of it. But we do love it. And all of the opinions expressed herein are ours alone and have nothing to do with the Dead Files or any of its cast, crew, production, or distributors. And we swear. Enjoy.